that connects our Tzaha Shava of the concept of the Siag Min HaTorah and the idea of Pesach. I can think of really at least four that we still haven't yet discussed. So let's see how many we can talk about, and maybe we'll continue that on Wednesday too. So among other relationships between this concept, so Rav Yosef Engel on his list, when he talks about possible examples of the Siag Min HaTorah, he talks about something that's very relevant to Pesach and possibly not relevant enough. What do I mean? There is a practice that we have throughout the summer, especially, but it's true all year, to start Shabbos and Yom Tov early. So now, as Shabbos starts to come in later naturally, so many shuls and many individuals will bring Shabbos in significantly before the Zman. If there's any time when somebody would want to do that, it would probably be Pesach. And on the one hand, you need a lot of time to prepare for Pesach, and on the other hand, having the Seder start as late as it does, especially if one of the main goals that we have with the Seder is to keep the children awake. So there's a significant tension there. That how do we keep the children awake when we can't even start until late at night? And it's a pretty long process once we start. And it's a long time before you actually get to eat. So we would like to start the Seder early. But at the same time, we don't seem to be able to. So why not? What's the difference between Shabbos and Pesach in terms of starting early? Why is it that throughout the summer, many of us will regularly start a Friday night early, daven early while it's still light outside, eat dinner while it's still light outside, etc., etc., and why is there a difference Pesach night? So this has to do with a concept known as Tosefta Shabbos. Tosefta Shabbos is not, we should emphasize, Tosefta Shabbos is not just a convenience. Tosefta Shabbos is a mitzvah. Over the summer, it gets turned into a convenience, so much so that we forget that it's actually a mitzvah. So what's involved in Tosefta Shabbos? So the Gemara says, in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, towards the beginning of Daf Tes, the Gemara notes the pasuk, that the pasuk in Parshas Emor, when talking about Yom Kippur, so the Torah says that we should fast on the 9th of Tishrei. What's the problem with that statement?
We should fast next.
When is Yom Kippur normally, according to most of us? 10th of Tishrei, right? That's a pretty big detail to get wrong. Well, you don't want to have a wrong date for Yom Kippur for about 20 reasons. So which is it? Is it 10th or the 9th? So the Gemara actually has two answers to this question in two different places. But in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Mikan Shemosifi Michol HaKodesh. That we see from here that you can add on, or you must add on rather, from the weekday to the Yom Tov. But there is a mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov. The truth is, I have to say that a little bit carefully, Tosefes Shabbos and Yom Tov, because the Gemara there is talking specifically about Yom Kippur. Most of the Rishonim assume that it's not just about Yom Kippur, it's about everything. Speaking about Tosefes, I forgot to ask what time it was mentioned today.
1:30
is the time? Okay, so we'll go until then. So the idea that we should start every Yom Tov early and every Shabbos early, that's the way most of the Rishonim understand it. A glaring exception is the Rambam. The Rambam only writes the minimal reading of the Gemara. So the Gemara is only talking about Yom Kippur explicitly. And even within Yom Kippur, you could break Yom Kippur down into different parts. There is the Issa Malach on Yom Kippur, and there is the fast. This is the Pasuk, and the Gemara there is talking about the fast. That's all the Rambam brings in the Mishnah Torah, that we should start the fast of Yom Kippur early. But every other Rishon, most other Rishonim understand that there is a mitzvah, min haTorah, of starting every Shabbos meal differently. It leaves the question open as to whether the Rambam acknowledges Tosefta Shabbos and the level midrabbanan. So there are those who assume that he does believe in Tosefta Shabbos midrabbanan. But the fact is that some of the notes that Kalim point out doesn't really talk about it at all. So it's possible Rambam doesn't acknowledge Tosefta Shabbos in any degree, but that's a whole debate. So most of the Shalom Tosefta Shabbos Deraisa, the Rambam only Tosefta and Kippur by fasting, and possibly Rabbanan by other things. So the question could be asked, what is the nature of Tosefta Shabbos? What happens? If you start Shabbos early, do you actually change the day? Do you actually make it Shabbos in every sense of the word? Or should we say that no, you don't have that power? Shabbos begins when it begins. It's a halachic reality that's based on an astronomical phenomenon. And you don't have any control over it. So therefore, Tosefta Shabbos would mean something more behavioral, that we're acting as if it's Shabbos, but it's not really Shabbos itself. Right, you understand the two possibilities? Right, is it actually Shabbos for all intents and purposes? Or no, you can't do that. You're just going to abstain from halacha. You're going to act like it's Shabbos. Now, why would you say, just even philosophically, one or the other? So if you're actually able to make Shabbos when it's not yet Shabbos, so we can understand philosophically what that's about, right? That you have the ability to infuse the day with Kedusha, so okay, we can see what that's telling us to do. That we should be partners with God in making holiness in the world, that we don't want to just wait for Kedusha to be thrust upon us, or we want to bring it in ourselves. It's not so hard to figure out the philosophy if you accept it as possible. If it's really possible for us to bring in Shabbos early in the full sense, you can probably understand why we do it. What's the hashkafah on it? But if you're not really bringing in Shabbos, so what might be the purpose? Why would you pretend it's Shabbos if it's not actually Shabbos? What would you accomplish? So, any suggestions? Why should you pretend it's Shabbos if it's not Shabbos? What goal could that have? Other?
Since we're on topic.
You see the clue, the context? You see, like, a good detective? Right? So what's a good possibility? Maybe it's the skag. Right? What are we afraid of?
We wait till the last minute and we go into Shabbos.
Exactly. That maybe we're not going to know exactly what Shabbos is, or we won't pay attention to exactly what Shabbos is. And you'll come very close, and you'll end up in Machal Shabbos. So if Tosefta Shabbos is midrabbanan, if, for example, that is the view of the Rambam, so then, again, it works very well. So the rabbi said, make a siyag. The rabbi said, don't wait until the last second, but create a buffer zone and start Shabbos early. But, as we've been seeing, it's not exclusively for Rabbanans. That even if you hold that Tosefta Shabbos is D'oraisa, you could still possibly see it as a siyata. And indeed, that's why it makes it on to Yosef Engel's list. So if you look at his list, this is on it. The Tosefta Shabbos is possibly a siyag min haTorah. So in order to come to that conclusion, I think I mentioned that the items on Yosef Engel's list, so most of them you have to follow one view or the other in Rishonim. They're usually not unanimous positions. So here too, in order to come to the conclusion that Tosefta Shabbos is a siyag min haTorah, so you need two things. One, you need to assume that it's an obligation of haTorah, like we've seen most of the Rishonim say, possibly based on that pasuk about fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. and you need to assume that it's a siyag. So there is a source, there's a medrash that suggests that it's a siyag specifically. The medrash is in Parshas Bereishis. This is another question that Chazal have a few answers to. I said before that Chazal have more than one answer to the question of why the Torah talks about fasting on the ninth of Tishrei. They also have a few answers to the question of why does the Torah talk about creation finishing on the seventh day? Right? Didn't creation take 6 days? And God rested on the seventh day. So why does the Torah talk about him finishing on the seventh day? So you've probably seen Chazal have in a few places different answers to this, that the creation of Menucha was also a creation. But in one place, the Medrash says that the message is like this, that God is able to be very precise. So God can work up until the last gazilla second before Shabbos and stop doing blacha one gazilla second before Shabbos, and that will be fine. That will be considered resting on Shabbos. And he's going to come so close that because we have human perceptions that are imperfect, it'll look to us like he's working on Shabbos. Because from a human perspective, you can't tell the difference. And then, says the Medrash, because we can't identify that difference, Mikan Shemosifim Mikola Kodesh. So therefore, we have to start Shabbos earlier, so we shouldn't trip over the line. Because we're not capable of figuring out, even if you knew. And let's set aside the fact that you're likely just to not be paying attention. And that's the problem. Let's assume you could pay perfect attention. Right? And let's assume we could settle a major debate in the Rishonim as to when Shabbos actually starts. Right? Let's say we knew with absolute confidence that Shabbos begins at 7:32. But you can't tell when 7:32 is. We don't have such precise clocks. So it's not practically possible for us to work up until Shabbos starts and then stop. So therefore, it's necessary that we are mosif mechol hakodesh. So?
What about on days where we can't do it on Shabbos, like in the winter?
So then the truth is, that's what I alluded to before, that really we should do at least a little bit of Tosefet Shabbos. It's hard. Most people aren't attuned to that because we've come to see it in the modern era as only a convenience. Okay, it helps us in the summer, so we do it, but the truth is it's a mitzvah all year round. It's a mitzvah to a different degree. So hopefully we have things structured that we are at least starting a little bit earlier, that we have the practice of lighting candles 18 minutes before, and daven mincha that, so hopefully we have at least a few minutes where we're doing it, but the truth is it's a neglected mitzvah during the winter, and it's really obligatory and awesome. Hi.
Can't you theoretically also add it on at the end?
Yes, but that's a different concept. That's not going to happen the same thing. We have a concept of Tosefes Dantariso, but that's a different idea. Hi.
We have a question on the quality of Tosefes Shabbos, that we have a theme of Shabbos. We have a theme of adding on Shabbos, but they say
the same as we
are. I don't know if the same is, but I can see a difference. But like, is that really what we're saying?
So that's an interesting question. I think it has some.
Be older on something.
Yeah. So it's clear that, and if you want to get into that, you know, it's interesting. We'll see if we have a few minutes because there is a lot to talk about. You know what? Hold that question for a second because there's a lot to say about it. Maybe we'll try to come back to it because there's some interesting implications to that question. So hold it a moment. We'll come back to it. But Israel, just to make a point also, in terms of the practicality. So this is especially important for Erev Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur night, everyone agrees it's Tosefes, even the Rambam agrees it's Tosefes, and people aren't so attuned to this. So the question comes up also whether it should be done, is it enough just that you're passively not eating, and you pass enough to Malacha, or does it require a verbal Kabbalah? So one of the things that we have, this quote Tefillah that was written by the Chayei Adam around 200 years ago, called Tefillah Zakah, which you're encouraged to say, and it's hard, Erev Yom Kippur, you're running around a lot of other things, so it's hard to find the time, but if you can find the time to come to shul earlier, and to say Tefillah Zakah, so there are a couple of advantages, B'nod Mumakum and B'nod Mumachavero, of the Tefillah Zakah, but one of it is that you're Makabel Yom Kippur at the end, So, since you want to make sure to get the mitzvah of Tosefis in, even when it's not motivated by your schedule, so that is something to keep in mind. So, we have Tosefis all year round, and either it can be understood as something that is an addition of Kedusha to the day, or it's something different, it's there as a siyata. So, does that make any practical difference? Is it just a question of how holy you should feel? And if you're actually adding on Kedusha, then you can feel holy. But if you're just doing it as a siag, it's not really Shabbos, so you shouldn't feel so holy. Does it have any nafkaminas? So the truth is, it probably has a ton of nafkaminas. And so among the nafkaminas, or broadly addressing the nafkaminas, are going to be the question of, what about positive components of Shabbos? Can you fulfill the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos or of any specific yontif during the time of Tosefis? So let's say, for example, Suda Shabbos. Can you fulfill Suda Shabbos during the time of Tosefis? Especially because, for a lot of us in the summertime, that's a big part of the motivation. Not exclusively, but part of the hope is that you'll be able to not only daven early, but come home and it's still going to be light outside and have your suda so the kids will still be awake in the summer. So, does that work? Right? Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos during the time of Tosefis? So this was a machlokas, as we'll see, it's an ongoing machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal, and was actually first before that, more relevant to Pesach, is the machlokas 2 days of Tosefis and Pesach. So the Taz and the Marshal, later on, disputed this. It's reflective of the general issue they have, that the Marshal maintains, the Taz quotes the Marshal on the side of the page from Shulchan Aruch. The Marshal says, it's not really Shabbos. When you bring in Shabbos early, you're just acting like a Shabbos, and therefore you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos during that time. And the Taz disagrees. Taz believes you have completely brought on Shabbos, right, Preston? You've completely brought on Shabbos. Let's see the reverse, it's like reverse Tosef Shabbos. So Taz believes you have completely brought in Shabbos and flipped the day. So therefore, yes, whatever you have to do on Shabbos, you can do during this time. Now, the Marshal, you still have what to work with if you want to make sure the kids are awake. The Marshal you could probably accommodate still, but if you wanted to be machmir for the Marshal, even if you davened early and started your meal, but let's say you waited until after dark and had a kezias of bread, then that's probably enough to be machmir for the view of the Marshal. But it's still worth noting that this is different than the mindset that we normally have, where you can actually start early. Nice.
I just missed this point. You said the Marshal holds his wake, he holds it's a siag and you can't really do it.
I think he doesn't say those words, but it fits. That the idea is that the purpose is a siag, that we're not actually bringing in Shabbos, we're just acting as if it's Shabbos. And therefore, it's not a time when positive mitzvahs could be fulfilled like Suda Shabbos. Now again, so many of us don't think to take that attitude. Right? It's a widespread practice that knowingly or not follow the Taz, and therefore have Suda early, Friday night during the summer. So why can't we do that Pesach night? And won't that help us a lot if we can bring the Seder in early? We have a much greater chance of keeping the kids awake. All the different things that we try to do to keep the kids awake and involved, so it would probably help a lot if we didn't have to wait so long to start. So if we can have our Friday night meal early, why can't we have our Seder early? So this question is asked by Tosus in Sofim, the very beginning of the 10th parak, and upside the 10th in the base. So Tosus asks on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says over there at the beginning of the 10th parak of Sofim, Arve Psafim Samlok Amincha, Vayochel Adam Achet Peshach. You shouldn't eat on Erev Pesach. So the language of the Mishnah is, you shouldn't eat, or you shouldn't eat too much, you shouldn't eat too much too close to Yontif, whatever it is, practically speaking. But the language of the Mishnah is Ad Shetech Shach, until it gets done. So So he asks Tosfos, why until it gets dark? Why can't I bring Yontif in early and have my Seder early? Why do I have to wait until it gets dark? We can do that every Friday night. So why can't we do it ASAP? So Tosfos has two answers to this. One answer is that we can't do it every Friday night. Right, we just mentioned it's machlokas, and they said it's also a machlokas in the Rishonim. So Tosfos over here has 2 days that maybe this assumption is wrong. Maybe you can't do it Friday night, and you can't do it Pesach night either. That's one possible approach. Second possible approach recognizes that it is possible to do Friday night, but still says Pesach night is different. Why is Pesach night different? So here, Tosfos has an approach which Reb Chaim explains in a little more detail, but the truth is it's really pretty much there in Tosfos. And that is that Pesach, it's not just about establishing that Pesach has started. It's that you have mitzvos which require lila. And different Rishonim focus differently on what mitzvahs we're talking about. But let's say, for example, the mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah requires Pesach night. So let's say we were to say that bringing Pesach in early means it's 100% Shabbos. Well, that's terrific. Might as well say it's 100% Pesach. So that's terrific. But the next morning is, according to everybody, 100% Pesach. Right? And yet, you can't be Yotzei the mitzvah of matzah the next morning. So what does that show us? That matzah is not just a mitzvah that requires Pesach to start. It has to be Pesach night. So if you bring Pesach in early, okay, fine, it's great, it's totally Pesach. But it's not Pesach night, and that's not going to be enough to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Okay? So far, so good? So then, what about, well, I'll start singing a little bit, I'll make Kiddush, is there any part of the Seder that I can get in, at least to get a little bit of an early start? So the problem is, it's not so simple, because even if you could stall getting to the matzah, so earlier parts are also problematic, primarily Kiddush. So why should Kiddush, and Kiddush is pretty much the first one, right? Kadesh, you're there already. So it doesn't really give you much space. You can spend a very long time singing Kadesh, but you're not going to really save so much time with the kids. So what's the problem with Kiddush? So I can make Kiddush Friday night early. And the truth is, so we'll see if we get to this discussion, but Kiddush, the Gemara explicitly says, regarding Friday night Kiddush, that you can make Kiddush while it's still light outside. The Gemara in the fourth part of the Brachos. So that's actually a whole discussion. What does the Rambam do about that? Because if the Rambam doesn't acknowledge Tosefta Shabbos Daraisa, or doesn't acknowledge Tosefta Shabbos at all, so how does he let you make Kiddush Friday night when it's still light outside? It's a whole separate discussion. But we know that we can do that Friday night. So what's the difference? Why can't we do it Pesach night? Why can't I make Kiddush earlier? Any suggestions? Why should it be a difference? Why is this night different than all other nights? And why can I not make Kiddush earlier? Shal Yaakov?
Maybe it has to do with the Dalakosos post Kiddush.
Okay, so one possible approach is that Kiddush Seder night is doing double duty. Right, it's not only Kiddush, but it's the first of the four Kosos. And perhaps the four Kosos are also tied into the Haggadah and also requires that it follow the same rules as the Matzah, as the Korban Pesach, as everything else, and therefore that also requires Lila. There is another possibility that Taz has that this is quite interesting, that maybe it's a flaw in Kiddush Malkum Suda. Right, we normally relate to the requirement of Kiddush Mokum Suda in a geographic sense, that you have to be in the same physical location of where your Suda is in order to be Yotzei Kiddush. So the Taz suggests over here But there's also a temporal application. That if you're in a time slot in which the Suda cannot take place, then you can't be Otze Kiddush either. So if we assume that the Suda has to wait till dark, so then the Kiddush of the Suda maybe also is problematic, even though again, the rest of the year, it's not problematic. So, unfortunately, for those of us trying to get things early, pretty much the best you can find in the poskim, there is a discussion about this in the Sefer of Parfenis. I think we mentioned his name in the past. Parfenis is a contemporary Talmud Chacham from the Satmar community. So he has a number of svarim, but in the past few years he's written a number of works of Shalos and Shuvas about halachic topics. But probably his first Sefer, one of his earlier svarim, is a Sefer called Yisrael Vahazmanim, where he talks about every issue that could possibly come up in Baal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch that has to do with Zmanim. So he talks about the Seder night, and the best you can get out of the sheikhs he collects there is that the Dieved, if you make Kiddush Bein Hashmashos, meaning after Shia, but before it says, the Dieved, you go to Kiddush. So that's not really a tremendous amount of latitude, so it's tricky. Max, you have a question about that?
I was about to pause before. It says that you can't make Kiddush early because it's a Magen Suda. Yes, Kiddush is Magen Suda.
Right.
And it's putting up the times. But normally that works. So is he just saying that the Gemara just says Shabbos are going to get out?
Well, because normally you don't have a problem having the meal early.
Yeah.
So right. Especially according to him. And I can remember he's the same Taz with the Sari with Marshall. He says every Friday night you can have a meal early.
Okay.
So your Kiddush could be associated with the meal. But yeah. Pesach night, it's unique. The meal is held back
because it's Belila.
Right.
So now you have, so the Suda just drags everything.
Right. So now you get the Kiddush after you welcome Suda, so you can't make the Kiddush before the time of the Suda. So that's going to come out the difference between Pesach and every other Yom Tov. So now let's try, there's a lot we can say about this topic, but without being able to set this too much time on our slot, so let's try to just show how this plays out in a few other cases. And then maybe I'll try to address the point that Max brought up before about the nature of Tosafos. So the idea that you find this machlokus, the Taz and the Marashal, comes up in a few places. And it's relevant also to other upcoming Yom Tovim. So let's really highlight that a little bit. Sometimes point out that Tosefos is applicable to every single yontif, really every yontif without exception, with the exception of Rosh Hashanah, the first days of Sukkot, the last days of Sukkot, the first days of Pesach, Shavuos, and Tisha B'Av. But other than that, it's applicable to every single yontif throughout the year, meaning that there's a quirk in just about every yontif for something to discuss. So theoretically, it should be applicable. Right, Shushal Pesach is the one time where it's pretty straightforward, clear sailing, there isn't much of a quirk. But every other yontif, there's something to figure out. So one of the issues is, so what about Shmini Atzeres? So here you also have the Taz and the Marashal arguing. And the Taz has a debate with the Marashal, he quotes the Marashal again, and the Marashal says that Shmini Atzeres night, you can bring Shmini Atzeres in early, you should bring Shmini Atzeres in early, presumably, as a Tosefos Yontif. But you should not start your meal yet. And this would be a bigger chumra than he has by Friday night, because we mentioned Friday night you could probably start your meal, even if you have to be machmir, according to him, to have bread later. But Shmini Atzeres, he would tell you don't even start eating at all before dark. Why? Because, he says, you're going to have a fundamental problem regarding the sukkah. The Gemara says in sukkah that in Shmini Atzeres and Chutz La'aretz, Yisruvi Yasmina, Bruchi Lo Mevarchina, that you should sit in the sukkah, but you shouldn't make a problem. So what are you going to do if you brought Shmini Atzeres in early, says the Marashah? On the one hand, you're going to want to sit in the sukkah with the bracha, because it's still sukkah, it's still daylight outside. On the other hand, you're going to want to not make a bracha because the Gemara says in Shmini Atzeres not to make a bracha. So, what do? Your head explodes. So, you can't do it, so says the Marshal, you can't eat early. Hi.
What about those people who make brahma, cancerous, and
so So that, I don't think anyone who does. There's a dispute in practice about sitting in the sukkah. But making a bracha in the sukkah, so that's against the Gemara. We should have to do that. Of course, we assume also that not sitting in the sukkah is also against the Gemara, but still that where there's a whole dispute in practice, but about the bracha, I don't think anyone does. But the, so the Marshal says not to do it, and the Tai says it's not a problem, because you don't have any confusion here. Once you have brought Shmini Atzeres in, it's fully Shmini Atzeres, just like he says about Friday night meals. It's fully Shabbos Friday night, and it's fully Shmini Atzeres now. So the halachos that guide Shmini Atzeres are going to be applicable here. That's the whole story. Nothing to be confused about. So you see that it's l'shitasa. Right? The Taz says, both regarding Shabbos and Shmini Atzeres, that the Kabbalah makes it completely into Yontif. That's the whole story. While the Marshal sees it as more of just a practice, maybe a siyag, and therefore we're going to be somewhat confused as to how to behave in situations like this. So I sometimes comment that the Gemara says, probably talking about Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says that when it rains on Sukkot, which is something close, so I say that when it rains on Shmini Atzeres, it's a simin bracha, because first of all, Yisrael pointed about the difference in practice between whether you sit in the sukkah or don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So if it's raining, nobody's going to fight about that, because no one sits in the sukkah if it's raining, so it'll bring shalom. So here's another way in which it'll bring shalom. So presumably, if it's raining at night, Shmini Atzeres night, you won't have this machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal either, because the Marshal will agree, you might as well start your meal inside anyway, so you're not going to have this machlokas either, so maybe getting rid of machlokas is a simid bracha, so raining on Shmini Atzeres is good. Okay, so there's a third application of this machlokas, which is going to be relevant to us sometime after Pesach. There is a widespread minhag Yisrael not to start Shavuos early. I'm familiar with this. Shavuos is the edit where the clock is latest. And yet, Shavuos, we don't start early for the most part. Wouldn't say nowhere, but it's a very widespread minhag Yisrael not to. So the question is, why not? All right, why don't we start Shavuos early? And so if you start early, why don't we start Shavuos early? So there are at least four explanations that are out there for this minhag. Two of them are very elaborate, so if you don't know the last two, you can ask me privately and I'll tell you the more elaborate suggestions. But the two more straightforward suggestions have to do with this issue. That there is a concern, which is expressed in the Taz, and I'm not going to talk, that starting Shavuos early will impact on the Tmimus of Sefiras Olam. That the Torah says, Shava Shabbosos Tmimus, we should count seven complete weeks of Sefira, and then start Shavuos. So the concern here is that maybe if you start Shavuos before the seven complete weeks are over, you don't have Tmimus, you don't have complete weeks. And that's a problem. So therefore you have to instead wait until you have these seven complete weeks, and only then can you start Shavuos. So, as you can see, if you think about it, according to the Maharshal, this is not an issue. Right? If Shavuos is just, Tosefus is just a siyah, right? We act as if it's Shabbos or Yontif, and we avoid Malacha. So then how in the world will that impact your sphere? But sphere means that you have to count seven complete weeks, and during the last hour you have to do Malacha. It doesn't have any relevance. It's only the Taz L'Shitaso that this is a problem. Right? Because the Taz says that bringing in Yontif means you've totally flipped the day. So now you have what to wonder about. Is that perhaps compromising the complete nature of Sefiras Olam? But if it's a siyag, it would seem like there's no issue at all. It seems like there's no concern. So this is the third instance of just my focus between the Taz and Marshall. Marshall is my vocal here, but you see it would be a third example of it. This ongoing question, is Tosefta Shabbos indeed a siyag, or is it something more fundamental? This comes up in a few other issues. Let's see how many we can mention in the next few minutes. So, for example, there's also a discussion. Well, first, let's really note that there's a fourth Taz, which is a little bit challenging to this theme that the Taz has agreed with himself three times. So the fourth Taz is a little bit less compatible with the pattern. You can tell me what you think about this. So what would you say about the following? Let's say you bring in Shabbos on Friday afternoon, and then you realize afterwards that it was probably a bad idea. Because you're still sitting at work in front of your computer, your half-hour drive from home, it probably is not a great time to bring in Shabbos yet. So you regret it. So can you have it undone? Let's say you're lucky, you happen to work in an office with a Beis Din in the building, so you could go down to the floor below you and go to the Beis Din and have that be matter nether for you. So they'll undo your Kabbalah Shabbos. Does that work? So that doesn't think so. So I would have thought that way also. That's the thing. Logically, I would have thought that if you say like the Marshal is basically essentially a Kabbalah behavior, like a nether that you're just not going to do malacha now, so then maybe Hatar Sadar or something like that should work. But I think you're correct that logically, for the Taz, if you really be done Shabbos Yontif, it's hard to see how that can be undone in the middle. So then they have to figure out how this works with a fourth comment of the Taz. The Taz describes a scenario where there was a 3-day Rosh Hashanah. You have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos. And in a certain community, they had a very depressing Rosh Hashanah because their shofar was stolen. So they didn't pull a shofar. And then comes late Friday afternoon, they're all miserable. And they say, okay, Tifta Rosh Hashanah, because we'll sell, let's get rid of this Rosh Hashanah, and let's bring in Shabbos with it. And they bring in Shabbos, and 2 minutes after they start Shabbos, the Pony Express shows up. Look what we found. We have a chauffeur, and you still have a few minutes left for Rosh Hashanah, so blow a chauffeur now. So, can they blow a chauffeur? So somehow the Taz got a hold of this question. And the Taz says that, yes, says you can't say that the Kabbalah Shabbos has now made it into Shabbos, which would have two problems. One is that, as we've discussed at length, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos nowadays. But also, especially in this case, if you're staying at Shabbos, you're staying the day after Rosh Hashanah. So two reasons not to blow shofar. So what do you do in this case? The Taz says it's all undone. It's all clearly a mistake. And they never would have accepted Shabbos had they known the shofar was going to show up a minute later. So therefore, it unravels, and you can't blow shofar.
You don't even need a basement.
Presumably not, because his statement is that it's so blatantly clear. And they don't need anyone else, and sometimes they have the post. It's so obvious. So then it unravels on its own, and that would be the case here. So, as Zach was saying, I think it's a little bit less consistent with how the Taz has been interpreting it till now. That's the question. It happens to be the Taz does say in his comment, he said, and don't ask that I'm contradicting my other opinions. But he's talking about a different detail. He says, don't ask that when I said Shmini Atzeres, there's no problem. So bringing Shmini Atzeres early, even though you're losing the mitzvah of sukkah, and now I'm saying you can't lose the mitzvah of shofar, it's different because that was a mitzvah for Yuvis, this was a for Yuvis, shofar you didn't do it all. He gives differences why it's not a contradiction on that point, but I think conceptually you're right that it's a little bit less consistent with what he said till now. That's something to think about. Hi.
Does the fact that he considers this case that it's more of like a netter, is that also in the case of Shmini Atzeres in the other cases, or is that some different?
Say that in this case it's different acceptance? Or
yeah, in this case it's a netter versus other cases it's not really a netter but it's a total acceptance.
I don't know. I don't know if there's a basis to be Makhali.
I mean, because in this case where it's a netter, it seems to be more like Marsha, which is that it's more of you accepting the chumros, but the day really hasn't come upon.
Mm-hmm.
You're accepting to not do the los essays, but you seemingly also can't do the essays because the day really hasn't come.
You're saying when you transfer from Rosh Hashanah to Shabbos, yeah, you already have all these, if you don't have these certain cooking and things like that. It's not totally true.
It's hard to know if there's enough bases to distinguish. Hi.
Is it possible that you driven by the fact that you missed the mitzvah of Shoshana previously? So that's enough to override the schedule?
Well, that's part of it. Not that it overrides it, he says that it establishes as an absolute mistake. That's, since he clearly wouldn't, you not only wouldn't do it in that case, it wouldn't even be right to do it in that case, because what right do you have to forfeit the mitzvah that's in front of you? So all of that contributes to establishing as a mistake. So just to go back to Shulas for a second. So we mentioned that there are, let's say, four explanations. Again, two I can tell anyone privately if you want to know. Let's say the first two are this position of the Taz, that you're compromising Sviras Omer. Another is the Nitziv. The Nitziv, in his commentary to Chumash, has another suggestion. Commentary to Parshas Amor. So this relates to Max's question before. So when you bring in Shabbos or Yontif, so in what ways is it really just an extension of that Shabbos or Yontif? So one way in which we know that it's not is that if you eat on Yom Kippur, if you eat on Yom Kippur normally, you're chayav karis. If you eat during Tosefes Yom Kippur, you start Yom Kippur early, and you eat that, so clearly you're not allowed to do that. That's the whole point of starting Yom Kippur early. But if you did it, you're not chayav karis. So the Gemara understands that the Torah says that your nichrusah, your karis, obligation comes because you eat the etzem hayom hazeh, and etzem, the Gemara understands, applies only to the day itself. That's a way of excluding any additions. Tosefes is not included in etzem. So therefore, if you eat during that time, you're not chayav karis, and therefore, presumably, if you do malacha during Tosefes Shabbos, you're not chayav stila. The onesh doesn't apply to the time of Tosefes. So the Nitziv in his commentary to Chumash notes the pasuk about Shavuos says something along the lines of Ukrasem be'etzem hayom hazeh mikra kodesh, that you should declare the day of Shavuos as a holy day, and you should declare that be'etzem hayom hazeh. So if we understand etzem as excluding Tosefes, so you can read the pasuk to say that you should do the kriyas kodesh of Shavuos during the day itself. So that might mean that either Kiddush or davening or whatever you want to define is the Kriyas Kodesh. That's a little bit of a discussion, what counts as the Kriyas Kodesh, but you could say that the declaration of Shavuos as a holy day has to wait until the day actually starts, until Etzem Hayom Hazeh. So that's a different way of explaining how this happens.
Is that essentially the same as Mar Shalvin?
No, not really. I mean, it's Marshall saying that that's only possible in general with any day. But here, with the Nitziv is saying that the Pasuk is specifically telling me by Shavuos that the Kriyas Kodesh can only happen.
So, what does Tosefes say?
So then you have a question. So, wait a minute. So, what about the Mitzvah of Tosefes in general? Right? So, are we saying, and guess the question according to everybody here, that if we say there's a Mitzvah Menat Torah of Tosefes, or Shabbos and Yom Tov in general, so it's a big deal to exclude Shavuos from this mitzvah, because it seems like it's a mitzvah in the Torah. And now we have this minig, which only really appears in the Achronim, to not do Tosefes for Shavuos. What right do we have to ignore this mitzvah in the Torah? So some suggest, Rav Moshe Sternberg has the suggestion, others have the suggestion, that Shavuos is unique as far as the date is considered. And how is Shavuos unique related to all of Yom Tov as far as the date? Okay. Right, well, the Torah doesn't give a date for Shavuos, right? The Torah never specifies the date. And in fact, when they used to be Mekadesh al Pi HaYeir, Shavuos could be up for different days, depending on how long Nisan ends up being and how long Iyar ends up being. So there is no specific date or even a actual date for Shavuos in the Torah. Now that we have a set calendar for Shavuos, always ends up on the same day. But the only way the Torah tells you when Shavuos is counting 7 complete weeks after the second day of Pesach. So therefore, maybe one could argue that it's fundamentally impossible to add on to Shavuos based on the Tzimus idea.
that Shavuos only could come in after you finish counting 7 full weeks of Sefira. There's no such concept as bringing that in any other week. That's one way to say it. Alternatively, you could say that maybe we could split things here. We could say that Tosafos has two components. One, it has the component of the siyag that we've been talking about, and it also has an idea together with that that you also actually start the yontif early. So maybe we could say that Shavuos has one without the other. That you can't actually start the yontif early. That's fundamentally impossible when it comes to Shavuos in a unique way. But the siyag concern that we have by every Shabbos in yontif, so that does apply. So there we would say, okay, that's easy enough to do. Doesn't require any actual davening or kiddush early. It just means abstain from malacha for a period of time before Shua starts, and you could accomplish both of those together. All right, there's a lot more to say about the subject. Maybe I'll just mention one more issue. I wanted to say a little bit more about Max's question. Maybe we'll point some time during the next few days to add this point. And probably Wednesday, we'll do our shiur lunch on Wednesday, and we'll talk about Yom Yontif then also, so maybe we'll have another minute to add to this, if you're able to on that slot. Yeah. And then tomorrow and Tuesday, we're going to do Sanhedrin, but again, tomorrow, because of the shiur klali, we're having shiur at 10:30 tomorrow. So just to add one more point, just to parallel this, the Nesiv has a tshuva also, where he asks an interesting question, which also seems to depend on all these issues, just while mentioning it. And it says, what happens if you have a situation like this? Let's say the situation he's talking about was a woman had brought in yantif. Let's say it was a sukkis. She brought in sukkis, and it was an hour before yantif where it otherwise started. And 5 minutes later, she gets a telegram that a relative of hers passed away and was already buried. So what happens? What should she do? See the problem here? Normally, if somebody starts Shiva before Yantif, even if they only sit Shiva for a very brief period of time, Yantif starts, it cancels the Shiva, and that's it. Shiva's over completely. Yeah. But if one, let's say, has a Levaya on Chol Hamoed, so the Shiva has not started before Yantif. So then Shiva doesn't have any opportunity to start until after Yantif. And then after Yantif is a full Shavuot, the full Shiva. Either 6 or 7 days, Machlokes is what you count Yantif Sheni, but there's essentially the full Shiva after Yantif. So this is a huge nafkamini here. Right? We say Yantif has fully started, so there's no way to start Shiva before Yantif, so you wait until after Yantif and have a full Shiva then. Or do we say, no, Yantif hasn't really started, so it's still possible the simcha of Yantif, which is what cancels Shiva, hasn't kicked in until Yantif actually starts. So she can sit Shiva anyway, even though she already had brought in Yantif. And then when Yantif really comes in, it will cancel Shiva. And then that's it. That's over. So this seems to depend on this whole issue. But it's Siv himself, and his truth in the Mishnah Dabur, he doesn't use this lungus to discuss it. And he says, depends on the other issue we just spoke about, the question of, if you're Makabal Shabbos Yantif by mistake, can you undo it? He's assuming, I think many emotionally would very much disagree with this, but he's assuming that this person would not want to sit Shiva, would want to have the shorter Shiva option, and therefore, had they known they would get into this situation, would have not been Makabal Shabbos, Makabal Yantif in this case, and therefore the Kabbalah was a mistake, and cancel Shiva and have Yantif cancel together with Palach, if they have Makel to Evo, we normally Makel to minimize Avelo, so that's how he assumes. But from a Lamdashah perspective, it could certainly be tied in to the questions that we discussed. Okay, you have a lot more to say about this, we'll see what we have time to put in. Who wants to adopt for us? Familiar, looks like you're all ready to go. Okay. Asher Shiva Shabbat. Asher Shiva. I'm not even going to